D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators versus Islanders tonight. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6 right here on 102.5 The Game. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us at 5 o'clock. We'll get into the Predators and the NHL with our friend Elliot Freeman coming up in 1 hour. But to reset the Titans head coaching search, it was reported earlier today that the Titans have put in requests to interview Arthur Smith, Steelers OC, former Titans OC, Packers DC, Jeff Hafley, 49ers DC, Robert Saleh. It's been reported within the past 30, 40 minutes that Cliff Kingsbury, former Commanders OC, former Cardinals head coach, has also been requested for an interview for the Tennessee Titans. But the question we were discussing, gentlemen, in the first hour, do we think Amy Adams Strunk is going to be willing to back up the Brinks truck, so to speak, to get one of these top coaching candidates on the market? One texter says, Amy Adams Strunk doesn't just want a PR win, she needs a PR win. The fan base will go beyond apathetic. I think the texter might also mean apoplectic. If this coaching search goes bad, I suppose both could work in this situation. Rob, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, with an interesting question. I know there will be second interviews held for serious candidates. My question is, how many first interviews do we think Borgonzi will conduct? Is there an amount of interviews in which the information gathered starts to become mind-boggling? I am glad they are casting a large net. It does seem like one name after another. I do hope they at least are able to pull off a first interview with John Harbaugh, but my gut tells me that will not happen. The main point of my question would be, where is the balance between casting a large net and not losing quality names from your list due to so much time spent interviewing?
And that was my concern yesterday. That's why I said, listen, if you're not in real consideration of hiring this individual, and I understand, you know, because we talked about it yesterday, and I understand, you know, Willie's point of view with that, and Adams, you're bringing a guy in, it may not necessarily be for the head coaching job. It could be for the OC or the DC, but you're getting to know that person. I understand that, but it's like, let's get to the meat and potatoes of it. Let's just, guys that we want, like we envision our team being ran by, realistic, like, guys that we want to interview, guys that have an opportunity and a chance, we think realistically, those are the guys that I want to interview. But I understand in this day and age, it's like you got to turn over every rock to make sure that you get the right guy, because a quick decision in today's football, to the fans, that's not a good decision. That's a knee-jerk decision. Anytime a decision is made very quickly, especially with a franchise like the Titans that hasn't had winning season, 4 years, and there's been some turmoil, so to speak, when you're talking about hiring and firing individuals. If this was a quick hire, and it could be the guy, people would say, oh, I don't trust that. Y'all did it. Y'all didn't vet everybody. Y'all should have overturned every rock. They thought they did it with Callahan last year. You didn't interview enough people. Well, now it's, okay, we're interviewing everybody, but I'm saying just interview the people you think has a real shot at getting a job.
It does seem like there's a lot of guys on the list. So I don't – it's a good question. It's a fair question. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the first time that Borgonzi's ever led a search. He sounds like he wants to interview everybody. Okay. We'll see how it turns out.
Hear ye.
Nobody's going to care if he gets the right guy, right? It's just, it's not about the process necessarily. It's about, do you end up with the right guy?
Well, to our point about will Amy Adams Strunk pay, one texter says, they say Callahan made $3 million the season coaching for the Titans, and Harbaugh made $17 million last year for the Ravens. Amy is going to have to come to the table with some real money if she wants to make a splash with coach, or at the $3 million point, they're just going to get some person who will come work for the money and hope they hit again.
They also have a lot of salary cap money that they can utilize. I'm curious how they go with that. And I think it's fair to say, you tell me if you disagree, D-Mace, that Jeffrey Simmons is going to want a new contract.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. He's going to want
a new
contract.
There's going to be a bonus involved where you got to write a check. So that's, you know, what about – we'll find out how deep the pockets are right now.
Yeah, and you don't know – again, you don't know how much you're – you don't know how much you're willing to spend until you have to spend that amount. And then now it's like, okay, am I – do I really want to do this? Or do I – am I going to take the other road and pay a little bit less? Jeff's contract, he's going to want a new deal. Whoever you get as a head coach, they're going to want to get compensated very well, especially if you're talking about guys that have already had jobs. Saleh, he was a head coach. He wasn't as successful or successful at all, but he was a head coach. Some of these other guys, McCarthy, Harbaugh. Now, you're going to have – there's a premium you're going to have to pay. And you don't get – it's almost like the bad team tax that we talked about when Titan players come. It's like we talked about with DeAndre Hopkins where you had to give him a little bit more. Yeah, you may have to pay a little bit extra, you know, even for a guy that
– Dan Moore.
Exactly.
They paid extra.
You maybe have to – you're going to end up having to pay more for anybody you go out there and get. But you better make sure, regardless of PR – you tried the PR stuff before. We tried it. What you need to get is the right coach. That's what you need to get, the right coach. And if it doesn't fit the PR narrative, damn the PR. Pick the guy that's going to lead your team, hopefully, into a championship.
One texter says, I'd give Harbaugh or Stefanski a blank check. Brian says, I'm looking at this a little differently. I'm just not all in on getting Harbaugh. Yes, he's been a good coach, but he's had a great team under him for a while. I would be more interested in looking at who the Ravens' top choice is for coach and try to pull some kind of move that would get him.
I'm really curious who the Ravens end up with. That job hadn't been open in a long time. Is there a guy within the family that they see, or are they going outside the family?
They were interviewing Denard Wilson. Did I see that? I think I may have seen that somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. No, Flores. It's Brian Flores.
Brian Flores.
I'm sorry. We all don't look alike.
I said Brian.
I know I said it. I can see it. Brian Flores. It was Brian Flores, not Denard Wilson.
The Ravens have also requested an interview with Robert Saleh, Vance Joseph, Brian Flores, Cliff Kingsbury. So
it does make you wonder if the Titans are going to have to sort of wait to see who takes that job. Like some of the ones that would be perceived. Uh-huh. Like I would have to think the Ravens job is really attractive to all the top candidates, right?
Of course. Absolutely. Ravens, I mean, Dolphins job may be a little tantalizing for, you know,
except
coaches.
For the whole quarterback situation.
Yeah, except for the quarterback.
It just all depends on what you think, too,
exactly.
Right? Hey, I can get Tua back. I mean,
or
there
you
could
may be able to get a quarterback. I mean, yours is there. I'm not sure if he's the answer. I hadn't watched Miami enough. But I think you had a space.
He's a seventh-round rookie.
Yeah, you're in a draft where you may still be able to get a good quarterback in the middle of the first round.
To that point, one texter says, do you think the best coaching candidates will be too wary of Amy Adams Strunk's tendency to fire anyone at any time? I suspect that makes the Titans one of the least desirable teams. And I'm glad the texter brought this up. Because one thing I've enjoyed doing over the past couple of days, no matter what website you go to, pick your favorite website, there is going to be a story on that website ranking the most attractive job openings in the NFL. And what I find interesting is looking at how each reporter, each analyst values every team. So, for example, Judy Batista of NFL.com has a ranking, which she updated today after the news of Mike McDaniel being fired in Miami. She has the Titans 7th out of 8 in the most to least attractive job openings, only ahead of the Las Vegas Raiders. Meanwhile, I read a story on The Athletic that was written a couple of days ago before the Miami firing, excluding the Ravens, because to your point, Willie, the Ravens are number one on all the lists. So the reporter on The Athletic excluded Baltimore. This was before Miami joined the list. The reporter had the Titans as the second most desirable job behind the Giants. So it's really interesting to see how people value certain things when putting together these lists.
Yeah, I guess it depends on, you know, how, I'm sure, who's been covering the Titans more.
And what do you prioritize?
Exactly. What are you prioritizing as far as how you think or how attractive a job may be? Is it just – the players?
Is it the quarterback?
The GM? Is it just the quarterback?
Of
exactly.
The franchise?
So, and people have varying opinions based upon that. You see, one had it at seventh, the other had it at second.
Well, let me read to you the one from Judy Batista of NFL.com.
Why is it seventh?
She has the Titans seventh out of eighth, only ahead of the Las Vegas Raiders. She writes, quote, "On the plus side, the Titans have quarterback Cam Ward and defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons, a high draft pick, and an anticipated $100 million or so in cap space this offseason. Those are all powerful draws for coaching candidates who know they will have to quickly turn around the Titans in order to keep their job. And that's the downside. There has been a lot of turnover at general manager and head coach in recent years, and that suggests a lack of patience and vision from owner Amy Adams Strunk and other top brass. Mike Vrabel's instant success in New England, just 1 year after he was fired in Tennessee, despite taking the Titans to the playoffs 3 times in 6 seasons without an elite quarterback, only reinforces the idea that even competent coaches might not get a long enough leash. On top of that, most of the roster, is lacking in top-level talent, and a personnel overhaul is necessary to be competitive. The Titans will have the means to change out big chunks of the roster, and Nashville is an easy city to sell to free agents, but the next coach will be under pressure to win immediately."
I don't want – and this is where I think some people sort of fall into this trap. Like, you know, Vrabel went somewhere else, and he had immediate success, and he's a great – I think Vrabel's a really good coach. But Vrabel came into a ready-made situation here in Nashville. In those 3 years that they were ready-made, that he made the playoff, for those years that he made the playoff, that team was ready to go.
They won a playoff game.
Exactly.
They had
already
got there.
And they didn't need an elite quarterback. They had an elite running back. And they had a really good offensive line. They had a really good defense. You don't need to have an elite quarterback in situations. Did they win the Super Bowl? No, they didn't win the Super Bowl. What did Vrabel do? He went out, set out of here, and he took the best job where he can win in his mind quickly. And it was with a team that had already drafted their franchise quarterback and had some players around them. That team was ready to start winning.
Yeah.
And he's a good coach. So I just don't like the whole running back to the Vrabel thing.
All right, why is it second on the other.
Jacob Robinson of The Athletic has the Titans second behind the Giants. Again, this list was written before Mike McDaniel was fired, and it excludes the Ravens because the reporter believes that the Ravens are the number one job. So take the Ravens out of it. Mm-hmm. The most attractive jobs. He writes, quote, "Number two, Titans. I'm convinced the Titans have a franchise quarterback in Cam Ward, along with a league-leading $105 million in cap space and 8 draft picks starting at number 4. To make the position surprisingly attractive, the fixes are obvious. Improve the league's worst receiver room while continuing to invest in the quietly improving offensive line. Add a pass rusher with the first pick, a receiver in round 2, and then spend heavily on patching holes in free agency. And then stop the organizational dysfunction, which has plagued the team for years. By keeping GM Mike Borgonzi, they've again mismatched front office and head coach. The AFC South is also suddenly competitive, with the Jaguars, Texans, and Colts all likely in the playoff hunt next season. Unlike Las Vegas, which is yet to find its QB, if Tennessee gets the higher right, while adding talented receivers and a pass rusher, it could turn things around quickly. Defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons is a game wrecker, and it has other young building blocks like linebacker Cedric Gray. Ironically, it just needs a coach like Vrabel."
See, on one end, they didn't mention Cedric Gray. They didn't mention some of these other things. But then in that article, they both said some of the same thing.
It's the eye of the beholder,
exactly,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. One made it look glass half empty. One made it look glass half full. But in a sense, they were both talking about the same thing. But one is second, one is seventh. Right. I mean,
I don't know. You put the same diamond ring. Like
exactly.
It's got flaws. It's got good things. You're like, what do you see here? Oh, this is the best I've ever seen. Somebody else, oh, look at this over here. This is no good. I don't want this one.
For kicks and giggles, here is Judy Batista's list from 1 to 8. 1 being the most attractive, 8 being the least attractive on NFL.com. Baltimore, the Giants, Cleveland, Atlanta, Miami, Arizona, Tennessee, Las Vegas.
Arizona. Wow.
I don't see anything attractive about the Arizona Cardinals.
I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., I guess. They got a defense. Well, their defensive end is pretty good. They got a good corner.
What do you do with Kyler Murray when you come in?
You keep him until otherwise.
He's the classic.
Decide.
He's the classic guy who's tantalizing enough to keep. Mm-hmm. But year after year, doesn't have the big year that you
wanted
hold,
to have,
right?
Yeah.
For one reason or another. Can't quite stay healthy or is hot for a while, then fizzles. That's a classic one there.
Keith says Rick Neuheisel said on Sportsmanlike that the Titans would be the best landing spot for John Harbaugh. I did not hear that. I would be curious to hear what Neuheisel said. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Varying opinions on the attractiveness of the Titans head coaching opening. NFL.com says 7 out of 8. The Athletic says 2nd. Most attractive behind the New York Giants, excluding the Baltimore Ravens. Where do you think the Titans' job ranks in the attractiveness scale? 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction and continue the conversation coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators versus Islanders coming up at 7 o'clock. You can, of course, hear all of your Predators coverage right here on 102.5 The Game. Stop by Barrel House before the end of the show, and I will give a tutorial on how to take screenshots.
Oh, that would be special.
We are charging
but
a nickel.
But you said you're charging for that.
Yes.
Charging a nickel.
I think, you know, for the fans coming, it's just part of the ticket price of getting in, I think. No?
You need to take that over with the Predators.
A little side business going.
I could use a little extra cash.
Yeah, a nickel from everybody that walked through?
A nickel?
A nickel.
I was thinking $5. $5 a pop.
Everybody that walked through that door has
to
give you a nickel.
There's got to be a YouTube chat thing that, you know, just, hey, how do you?
Hold
you
on
ever
a minute.
Do that with YouTube? You're like, how do you
hold on a minute. You
find
think,
this on your
you
car?
You think that people who don't know how to take a screenshot on their computer are going to be able to find a YouTube video explaining how to do it?
Yeah, I can do it.
Do you think people know how to
Much
use
easier
a
than,
YouTube chat?
How to do a screenshot.
Just my
I'm
phone,
going
man.
To drag the two of you into this millennium at some
just
point.
Don't think it's going to be a fruitful thing Bam. For you to try to charge.
Bam, there you go.
No,
there you go. It's there.
Oh, Derek is triggering me by actually taking a picture of his
Between him
computer
and Tyler
screen.
Hansborough, we got a lot of triggers
yes.
going for Adam
yes.
today.
You got me on edge here. Dustin in Hopkinsville on our text line says, if you're a fan, you know that we, meaning the Titans, are the armpit of the NFL with the Browns living between the cheeks.
Oh, Lord.
One texter,
that's quite the image.
That's visual. That's a yes. visual.
One texter says, I honestly don't understand why the Giants' job is so attractive. Outside of being in New York, well, first of all, it's in New Jersey, Titans have more cap room, the better draft pick. Nashville has no state income tax. I mean, yes, the Giants have a bona fide wide receiver, a good defensive tackle, and possibly your good up-and-coming quarterback, which is yet to be seen. This might be the fan in me, but I honestly think the Titans are a much better job right now than the Giants.
I think it's some of the perception, right?
Yeah.
For the history.
Exactly. Just like, you know, the perception is Jackson Dart, you know, is a much better quarterback than Cam Ward. I don't think that's the case.
They have stable ownership, right?
Uh-huh.
They have stable ownership that doesn't appear to meddle or make rash decisions the way that Amy Adam Strunk, for example, has made in recent years. There is the allure of coaching the New York Giants. The Giants haven't been good recently, but they are still the New York Giants, and that still counts for something in the league, I have to imagine. Dart had a solid year. Malik Nabers got hurt, but he was outstanding in his rookie season. You have Abdul Carter on defense. Even Cam Scadaboo at running back. He showed out before he got hurt. I think there are more young potential building blocks in New York than there are in Tennessee right now. Right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Outside of, because we're talking young players. We're not just talking players in general.
We're talking young players.
Young players. I don't think, listen, I have not seen a lot of Scadaboo outside of him playing at Arizona State and a few, you know, clips here and there.
Throwing
on ESPN
up on the sideline?
And yeah. But I'm not sure if I'm taking him over Tajay Spears. Mm-hmm. I'm not. So if I'm looking at it, okay, y'all want to go man for man? Okay. I'm not sure if I may take Tajay Spears if you're talking about I'm looking at an organization. I may look and say their running back room is a little bit more stable. It's something that I can work with. So I'm going to pick the Titans running back room. The quarterbacks. Somebody may come in and say, hey, listen, Cam Ward may be a better quarterback than Jackson Dart. So, okay, somebody may look at it and say Jeffrey Simmons. I think he's better than, you know, the defensive guy that the Giants got, even though he may be a little bit younger. The only outright position they have is receiver. The outright position. Even management. If they don't win the first year, who's gone?
Joe Shane.
Absolutely.
I'm
so you're going to have to be.
That he's still
exactly.
There, to be honest.
So unless the new coach come
That's
in and
really
say, I can't work with this guy, he's going to be there another year. And if they don't have a good season, you're going to have to deal with a new GM the next following year.
That is a fair point. So it was reported earlier today that the Titans have put in requests to interview Arthur Smith, Jeff Hafley, Packers DC, Robert Saleh, former Jets coach, current 49ers defensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, reportedly getting an interview with the Titans as well. Let's focus on Arthur Smith for a second, because Arthur Smith knows the Titans organization. He was a part of it for a very long time, had success here, went to be the head coach in Atlanta, did not go well. He's the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh for the past two seasons, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm wondering how much the element of Arthur Smith knows the Tennessee Titans organization. He knows what he's getting into here. Now, it's been, 5 years since he was here? So things have changed, but he does know the owner. I'm sure he has an idea of the office politics and all of those things. How much should that weigh into Arthur Smith's candidacy?
I mean, listen, you judge him by, his sort of coaching merits. He's proven to be a really good offensive coordinator. What the whole deal in Atlanta had talent, but he couldn't get that team to a playoff. In 4 years, he couldn't get them to the playoff. I think they finished 7-10.
Each of his three seasons.
Yeah, each of his 3 years he was there. So I'm not saying that, I don't think Arthur would be a good – but would he be the best coach for this team? I think you got to start getting very specific on what this team needs. And he may be a better coach for another team, but for this team, are they looking to almost retread again because Arthur was here? Are they looking to kind of go back to that again? I think they're wanting to move forward. So even with Schwartz, it's like, do we really want to go back to those days? Like, even the thought of their name elicits the old Titans and the old regime. Is that where they want to go?
I have not felt like the Titans are that kind of thing. Like, let's bring somebody back from the family.
Exactly.
It's not really been a thing for this franchise where it might be for the Predators. It might be for a lot of other – like, I always feel like there are people like, teams like the Flyers in hockey. I think we could pick out franchises where you like to – I think the Ravens are one, right? You try to have that family tree. There's a bond. I don't think that's the case. Although with Arthur Smith, I do see some things that he probably looks at. So, okay, they got a couple good tight ends that worked last night.
Exactly.
I think the running game, you got an offensive line, looks like it's taking shape. Maybe. Could you take that to the next level, get a good running game to go with? You've got a quarterback that might excel as he's
in
learning
your scheme?
In the scheme. It could be a fit. Mm-hmm. Could be.
Let's go to Mike from Old Hickory on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mike, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
I want to ask a question. We're getting near the Super Bowl. Are the Tennessee Titans going to wait till after the Super Bowl to pick the head coach and staff? Because what bothers me is that there's a lot of defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators. There's a lot of ex-head coaches now looking for jobs. Should we have already pulled the trigger on this and get something going right now before the preseason starts, get everything set in place? Or are we just going to sit around and flip our fingers around until after the Super Bowl and when everybody's in the set in place and we end up with nobody? And then we end up having to pick the worst of the worst, and then we go through this nonsense again for 2-3 years. So what I'm asking is, shouldn't we already, because of the season we had was bad, shouldn't we have already had somebody in mind and get ready to pull the trigger?
Thank you for the call, Mike. Well,
it's possible that they do.
Yeah. Because the Super Bowl isn't until, February
another month at least.
Yeah, February 1st, 8th.
Yeah, somewhere around now. So you would tend to believe that.
And there are limits
to
when you can interview certain candidates.
No.
So for example, Robert Saleh, who has received a request from the Titans. He's the 49ers defensive coordinator. He can't interview until next week because the 49ers are playing this weekend.
Officially.
Officially. Uh-huh. He can't officially interview until next week.
Do we think that, when the word tampering comes up, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, you're not really supposed to talk to the free agent before he becomes a free agent. And we all know that probably there's ways of getting word.
Of course, I'm sure.
So I don't know what has gone on behind the scenes with how they've worked that process, knowing that job's going to be open for months now. Mm-hmm. Do they have a feel back channel wise for the interest level? Let's just pick Saleh out, right? Saleh.
How much interest would he have in a job?
I mean, there's been any number of days and ways that, through a second or third party.
I'm sure it's probably an agent that represents the guy that you're bringing in.
Yeah. And so you avoid the tampering, you try to keep it discreet, but there's probably a really easy way to say, all right, Robert, are you interested? Yeah. Are you interested?
I think I tend to believe that. Before the Super Bowl, they will have a coach named and ready to sign. Because you're right. You don't want to – when did they hire Brian Callahan?
I was literally just looking that up. January 24th of 2024.
So there was right
that was
a
before
week,
the Super Bowl.
2 weeks before the Super Bowl. So do you want to get it around that time frame? Because at that point, I think you would have been able to interview everybody you wanted to, even the teams that are in the playoffs, at least once.
Yeah.
So you would figure before the Super Bowl hit, you have your coach in waiting. Now, you talk about staff, that may be a different issue.
One texter says, Arthur Smith got Justin Fields paid and a chance to be a starter for another team. Since Arthur Smith left Tennessee for the Falcons head coaching job in 2020, his offenses have finished in the top half of the league in scoring only once over that five-year span. Now, if you're Arthur Smith, you could argue that my best quarterback was a washed-up Aaron Rodgers. He had Desmond Ridder in Atlanta.
Kirk Cousins.
Marcus Mariota, I believe. Yep. Taylor Heineke. Justin Fields.
Not a loaded,
Russell Wilson.
Not a loaded offense.
Nah.
Right.
The other thing about Arthur Smith is he is not Mr. Charisma. When you're looking at leader, right? Who, when you walk into the room, here's the guy. He doesn't really have that, right? I don't think he shined in that role as a head coach. Fair?
He had a personality. It probably,
yeah, he's got a good personality, but I don't know if that translates to that presence of a head coach.
And I think that's what one of the things they're looking for is the presence.
Yeah.
And I think Robert Saleh, on paper, provides that quote-unquote presence.
I think he's got it.
Right? That's why he is going to be so highly sought after. And as we were talking about earlier, there are a lot of Titans fans who are wishing into existence or trying to wish into existence the Robert Saleh as head coach, Mike McDaniel as offensive coordinator combo in Tennessee. But what is that going to cost? Money. And are the Titans going to be willing to do that? Who the hell knows? But Saleh, I think, brings that presence. You look at him, and it's not just about looks. We know that. But you look at him, and you could tell he can walk into a locker room and probably command an audience, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, you would hope that, I don't think any, even though it went left in with the New York Jets, I don't think anyone in that locker room, at least to my knowledge, didn't think he wasn't in command of what was going on. Now, that, it's the Jets. What do you expect, I guess? Because they're still in this same sort of downward spiral, even though they've changed coaches.
615-737-1025. Quickly, actually, Kevin says, you can say Amy is quick to pull the trigger and fire people, but when you have a mediocre GM and an incompetent head coach who jumped into the deep end of the pool without knowing how to swim, how can you blame her?
Well, they go back to John Robinson, too. They go back to Mike Vrabel. Regardless of,
And I think by extension, Bud Adams could do it from time to time.
Yeah, so it's not just Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan. It's everything that came before that as well. and how it happened.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction on the Titans head coaching search. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us at the top of the hour as we discuss the Predators, who are back in action right here tonight at Bridgestone Arena against the New York Islanders. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Derek. I don't know what
6-7.
Dance.
6-7.
Hey, that's the dance, ain't it?
Is that the 6-7 thing?
It is.
It is? Is it?
I don't know what that is. I know people say it. I don't understand
it. I scared the bejeebers out of you, didn't I?
Yes, with whatever the hell that giveaway is for the Predators.
Yeah, this thing, some you can make it to like a clapper.
It looks like a
you
fan.
You fold it. Yeah, you can use it as a fan, but then you can also do this and make a bunch of noise with it. So I scared Adam. I'm sorry, Adam.
That was something. I'm going to keep my thoughts to myself. I was going to make an inappropriate comment, but I'm not going to do it. Kevin on our text line talking about Titans potential coaches. The incident with Saleh and Rodgers on the field last year was weird. Then 2 weeks ago, he had a very similar incident with Fred Warner a few weeks back on the sideline. That's enough for me to X him out of the player, to X him out if the players are treating him like that after touchdowns and wins. He's not liked. I'm not familiar with either of these incidents. Are you?
No, repeat that one again.
The incident with Saleh and Rodgers on the field last year was weird.
Oh, it
was
okay.
Then 2 weeks ago, he had a very
that.
Similar incident with Fred Warner on the sideline. That's enough for me to X him out of if the players are treating him like that after touchdowns and wins. He's not liked.
Yeah, didn't he like push Saleh or something like?
Maybe
push him in the chest or something. Something
sounds vaguely familiar.
Kind of weird at the time, and people made a big deal about it. End up obviously. Just a part of the dysfunction that was going on with the Jets organization. That was just a byproduct of it. I don't know what happened with he and Fred Warner this year. I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, I'm not. Maybe, Kevin, you can provide more information because neither of us are familiar with that. Benjamin says, I will say Robert Saleh had a tough time with Aaron Rodgers. How many coaches haven't had a tough time with Aaron Rodgers?
Mike Tomlin. That's probably the only person.
But Mike Tomlin, he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. I mean, and Saleh, I guess, is too. But, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, he is
Aaron Rodgers
on an island.
He's Aaron Rodgers.
He would prefer to
he's
be on an island,
himself.
I'm sure.
Got him in there, though.
Yeah.
Got to the point. I wasn't sure. Did we think it could be a disaster with that? But it wasn't. They got in there.
I remember they talked so bad, like former Steelers. They talked so bad about Aaron Rodgers before he got the Steelers. They were just roasting him. I mean, I love Clark, but Clark roasted. He was just like, he was on Aaron Rodgers so hard like a year ago.
Ryan Clark,
yeah, love him. Podcast is great, but he was on him so hard last year. He's not a leader, and now all of a sudden it's good. Now
the drama was at a minimum. They're not a great team. It didn't look great every week, but I think for what they hope they would get, this is probably what the best they could hope for, right?
Yeah. Kevin has replied and said, after a touchdown with the Jets last year, after a win a few weeks back, he tried to hug Warner and he pushed him off, not wanting to celebrate with him. Rodgers was one thing, Fred Warner completely different.
I try
not to read too much into that
because
it's just a isolated incident, I guess you could say, and I haven't seen it myself, so I hear what you're saying, Kevin. I'm not sure I'm going to eliminate Robert Saleh because Fred Warner may or may not have wanted to give him a hug on the sideline after a touchdown.
I'm going to tell you what probably happened because everything is not peachy creamy during a game. What could have happened was they may have had an agreement on what defense needed to be called or what not, and Saleh was screaming and yelling and Fred Warner didn't care for him. They end up getting stopped, so he comes over there, and he wants to hug Fred Warner. Fred Warner like, no, I'm still pissed off from what we were talking about. That happens all the time in the NFL where you go at it with a coach to play. It may end up being a good play, but you're still upset about a play that happened a play ago or a series ago, and you just hadn't gotten over it. But the coach, maybe he has, but you approach it differently. Like, man, I'm still a little – sideways on other stuff. So that it could have just been that.
What do you think the future holds for Mike McDaniel? Fired by the Miami Dolphins today. I see a report here from Ian Rappaport that the Lions have reached out to McDaniel about their vacant OC position.
It sounds like that's the theme that you're hearing, is he will be an OC somewhere, not a head coach.
If I am any owner, I would never hire Mike McDaniel as
He's a hero
coach.
To nerds everywhere.
No, I would never.
Like me.
Watch his transformation in Miami.
He got a little tanner.
He went there as some schoolboy, let's do this, nerd, noses off. And he came on the other side like a kingpin. I mean, he was wearing gold watches. It was just like, this dude, no, I don't want that. That man may transform to something you don't want. No, you can be our offensive coordinator where the light ain't shine. The light is not on you all the time. The light was on him, and boy, oh boy, he soaked it all up.
Yes,
so I don't want him as a head coach.
His clothing taste got a little bit fancier. And
you know they say money changed folks? Yeah, it changed McDaniels big time.
And it did look good for a while. For a while,
yeah, for
it was
while
trending
it
in the right
exactly.
direction.
Well, how do you think that will play in Detroit? What if Mike McDaniel, as you know him at the end of his Miami tenure, shows up in Detroit?
As a coordinator.
No, just in the city of Detroit, period. Like, the vibe.
You know, that's a Miami vibe. Ain't the Detroit vibe. I mean, you better put on a big coat in the skull.
Got to put on a starter jacket.
Yeah,
you got to find
you
a starter
big
jacket.
Boots. We ain't out here getting tanned and on the beach and our hair is wavy. No, we're bundled up in the winter about now.
Mike McDaniel, a lot of coaches have to go through from the head coach back to the coordinator, back to the head coach, like Robert Saleh, for example, head coach of the Jets, back to defensive coordinator with the 49ers, probably going to be a head coach next season. You got to take that step. But look, the Dolphins were awesome offensively first couple years under McDaniel. Tua Tagovailoa looked like a hell of a quarterback. Probably he got paid way too much because of it. But the offense worked. Yeah.
After that concussion, those concussions that he had, he just was never the same quarterback. And then they started getting injured. So boy genius started to look like little boy blue.
Jeremy on our YouTube chat says – he's ranking the coaching openings. He says Ravens best option, second best Atlanta, third Miami, fourth Giants, fifth Cleveland, sixth Arizona, seventh Raiders. Worst available team to coach, the Titans. I don't think
the
I would consider.
Raiders are ahead of them.
Raiders.
The Raiders seem to rank low. So Tom Brady, to this point, has not helped the reputation of the Raiders. And that is something that I think is a league story to watch. Mm-hmm. People are already kind of honing in on it. Can he be the broadcaster of a big game every week on Fox and actually make an imprint on the Raiders? So far, it hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. But, so this is a great opportunity for him. When will Tom Brady make his mark as the part owner of the Raiders? Because right now, they still have the same reputation. What's going on over there, right?
And, this is very tricky for him. I'm going to say this. It's not tricky for him because if they don't succeed, it'll be, because it's the Raiders. But if they do succeed, even though Tom Brady may not have a big part in it, it's because of Tom Brady.
Yep.
So he's not going to lose.
He can't lose.
Yeah, he can't lose.
You're right.
The Falcons, by the way, are interviewing Matt Ryan for a new role entitled President of Football. So speaking of former quarterbacks and front office roles, that seems to be a trend. Isn't Troy Aikman helping a team with its coaching search?
I forgot, what team was it? Oh, man. It wasn't Miami because I think that would be stepping on Dan Marino's toes.
President of football. Loosely related to supreme ruler of football?
Troy Aikman is advising the Dolphins on their GM search.
So it was the Dolphins.
So – all of these.
So he's working in cahoots with Dan Marino. Dan's over there by the, just fishing and on the boat, hanging out at the beach. Yeah. Hey,
but
Dan,
now you've
come
got
on over. Help
so
Troy.
Now you've got Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, and Troy Aikman, all of whom former quarterbacks, all on TV, double dipping, I guess. I don't know if Matt. I assume Matt Ryan, if he gets this president of football title, is not going to remain on CBS.
But should we assume based on
I don't know.
Tom Brady has sort of set a precedent.
Exactly. So unless he has to give it up because of the responsibility, why would he? You know, Tom's doing it. I should be able to do it. It's my responsibility.
As long as the owner
great.
Feels like he can do both and not and do them both with integrity, right? Yeah.
But what does Matt Ryan bring to that role other than the fact that he played for the Atlanta Falcons for many, many years and played well? Like, what expertise does he have?
Maybe he has a relationship with Arthur Blank.
Well, he clearly does because he's creating a job for him called the president of football.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm sure he knows a lot of football. And, you know, you've created this position for him. Is it sort of like a position where, okay, we're going to give you this title, but it's sort of like training you in it?
Right.
In
this is what we've learned over the years about titles. The president of football is a really interesting title.
Yeah, what is it?
The title you can put a title on anything. You can put the three of us and say Supreme Presidents of Sports Talk Radio.
DVD.
But, you know, what do? We just come in to talk sports every day. It's just like sports talk show host A. You can call it whatever you want. It's just – so what is it when you walk into the office every day? Who do you answer to? What's your role? It goes – a title can just be the tip of the iceberg that doesn't really tell you what you're doing every day.
The president of football will ultimately be leading the GM and coaching searches for the Atlanta Falcons.
So he's helping them find the people. Okay.
And will oversee both the coach and general manager once both are hired.
I mean, did Elway not have something like that with the Broncos?
Yeah.
He basically, without being called the president of football, John Elway was a big part of, like, John Elway got Peyton Manning to the Broncos, right? If it weren't for him, Peyton Manning probably wouldn't have gone there.
No, you're right.
We've got to think of a more creative title. If anybody can get us to Arthur Blank.
Titles, you can go all day with that. Yeah. Like, your business card, putting the title on. Who was the person that had the business card? I can't remember. There's been some famous the Facebook guy in the movie.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg. You know, Justin Timberlake's character tells him to make the business card with, I forget what it was, but he actually got it made.
Titles.
And he felt really guilty about
doing it. Doesn't president of football sound like a fake job that George Costanza would have made up on Seinfeld? Like, what do you do?
Like, what was his title with the Yankees? With George Costanza?
He was the assistant to the traveling secretary.
Good, yeah.
But you can imagine Costanza going, I'm the president of football. Yeah, I'm the president of football. He was the assistant to the traveling
secretary
for the New York Yankees. Yes.
Wow, that's a hell of a title right there.
Yep.
I've never heard that one.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans coaching search. But coming up next, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, will join us. The Predators are back. Are you okay? The president of football. Look what you made me do. The Predators are back in action tonight at home, finally, against the New York Islanders. We'll talk about that and more with our friend Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are live at Bridgestone Arena. David Janes is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.